Third hour DDC, Darren McFarland, Jace McCabe live here at Pete and Terry's Tavern. No Smoky Mountain Rain.
I bet Max didn't know about Smoky Mountain Rain.
Oh, it just doesn't feel the same.
I know.
It feels like it's raining on us right now, Pete and Terry's Tavern.
I'm bummed because I feel like that over the last few days of having a lot of people out, I have covered everything except for Smoky Mountain Rain.
That's what gets me juiced for the segment is Smoky Mountain Rain. And just, wow, what a swing and a whiff. So disappointing. Not his fault, though. Vince Ferrara.
But Willie's here.
Vince Sports on Twitter now joins us. I guess that's probably, you know, you don't get Smoky Mountain Rain when you don't win a series in baseball. Guess that's what happens.
Well, it wasn't in the Smoky Mountains, but it sure did rain in Lexington.
Look at you. Yeah,
that was good.
Dun-dun-dunch.
And Darren, good to know that the intro music ranks above me in what you look forward to in this segment each week. So,
well, you are is a given, Vince. That you're the given. But,
right,
you know, the Smoky Mountain Rain is the whipped cream, the cherry, and the nuts.
There you go. I'll take it.
That's one way to put it.
Hey, guys. How you guys doing on this Monday? Willie, welcome to the show.
Hello, everybody.
Yeah, Willie, I need your help. He's been all over the place.
Pass the whipped cream.
Hey, give him that screwball, Chase. Yeah. I'm hogging it. All right, so what happened in Lexington? What happened?
Well, as has been the case, you get everybody's best punch, right? Everybody is dialed up and ready and more focused than their kids, and you know everybody's wants to beat the number one team, and Tennessee saw another team that was ready to go. And I know that hasn't mattered in the past, but when you run into hot pitching and then you try to do too much offensively, you can get what you got this weekend. It's been incredible that this little stumble hasn't happened already. And it did. It fell, a lot of things kind of, you know, fell into place, and just Tennessee wasn't able to respond offensively. Tyler Guilfoyle, who was named SEC Pitcher of the Week, was crazy good. I mean, six hits scoreless in game one kind of set the tone. And, you know, Tennessee chased Kentucky's starter on the Thursday game, and then they were swinging at pitches up in the zone and just could not get enough of any runs home. They loaded the bases each of the first three innings. They left the bases loaded in each of those first three. Left 15 on in the first game. They walked 12 times and then couldn't, struck out 15 times, couldn't cash in on those early opportunities. So it kind of started off on the wrong foot, and then just second game couldn't convert enough opportunities, and Kentucky was sharp. They stole 11 bases against Tennessee, and Tennessee just could not get it going offensively until game three, when they finally went deep with a Jordan Beck home run. Kind of tight offensively. This has been something that we've seen a little bit more of as of late. You know, the Vols now have lost three of the last five in conference play, and the offense, other than that first game against Auburn, hasn't been as explosive and dominant. So we just saw them be not as sharp in a number of areas, and Kentucky was ready for it, and got to give them credit for sure.
You know what changed this season?
I know what you're going to say.
The wooden bat game. That changed this whole season. The wooden bat game has derailed the Vols. I'm just saying. The one that was played, Smokey's home. They've never been the same since. They have not recovered from the wooden bat game.
It is the theory that we have heard people trot out there.
Really? That is out there. Okay.
Well, not people, not anyone at UT. I'm just saying fans and, you know, some media members, you know, have gone to that. I don't really see it that way, but I think this is what is a little bit closer to the norm of what you see in baseball. You're going to have a little bit of a lull. And if you remember, they lost that first game against Bama, and then they went on a roll again. Then they won the last two against Bama. They swept Florida. So then they had the 17-run outburst against Auburn. I mean, it's been so removed from that. as much as these guys swing the bat, I really don't think so. It looks like it maybe when you just look at it on paper, but I honestly don't think so, Darren.
Yeah, I don't know about that either.
It was kind of a joke, but yeah. Not really, but kind of.
So
it's a half joke.
I do have to throw this in there because, you know, we are your uniform station. What do we think about the black unis?
Loved it. Absolutely loved it. And, yeah, there's more they could do with it. It caught me by surprise, honestly. I guess I stopped asking about it because I've been wanting them to go back to their old school days when they were, you know, playing really well under Rod Delmonico and getting to the College World Series with those black uniforms. The contrast of the orange and black, I thought it was beautiful, and hopefully we'll see it again. So, yeah, thumbs up for me. I'd say, you know, not everybody. You're going to have some other old school, but and, of course, some people are like, well, just win in it. Well, I mean, you don't know going in whether you're going to win in it or not. Like, so, but I think in terms of look, I thought it looked outstanding. What do you guys think?
I think they look cool. I mean, I like that football did it, and I like that baseball's doing it. I know that, and Willie's one that I think he doesn't like it because it's not part of the color scheme, but I think orange goes so well with it that I like it.
So, yeah, I like it better than the smoky gray. You know, the smoky gray isn't part of it, and teams traditionally do the light gray for the road, but the smoky gray isn't. I just love when teams have the big color contrast, and even when both teams will wear their colors. So, you know, orange and blue is what they both had on Sunday. I like that. I wish we'd see that more in sports, in all sports, letting teams wear their traditional primary color and then have that contrast. But, you know, it is what it is.
So two more series left in the SEC. Obviously, they have Bellarmine, which I don't even know who that is, tomorrow, and then Belmont next week. But you got Georgia and Mississippi State before things will shift to Hoover. But what do you need to see in these last two series?
Well, yeah, and by the way, we were corrected. So they told us, the folks from the school, because Tennessee just played them a couple of weeks ago, midweek, Bellarmine. Doesn't look like it. Bellarmine, and it's in Louisville, Kentucky. So we learned that as well. So, but to answer your question, Chase, I think it has to be a couple things. There's three things that have dropped off a little bit for Tennessee. One of them is obviously the offense. Their offense has been too inconsistent, or not to the level that we've seen it before, where their strikeout numbers are up a little bit. They haven't been as patient. Not, as Tony Vitello kind of pointed out, not enough team at bats where you're trying to go the other way or up the middle. So that they need to be sharper offensively. Another thing is their starting pitching. It's a big contrast, the last eight SEC games versus the first 16. First 16 SEC games, Tennessee starters, 11 starts went six or more innings from their starters. One of them was the Dolander injury against Alabama in the first inning, so you can almost take that out, too. In the last eight games, Tennessee has zero starts of six or more innings. The longest is five innings twice. So that is a part of it. And look, Blake Tidwell, when he first came back, he didn't have the rope but to go as deep, but the last two have been even shorter outings where he could have gone longer. He just quite hasn't been as sharp as he was that first game against Florida. So I think they got to extend that. And a little bit of that, too, is they know what they have in their bullpen. One, two, they've been in tighter games because the offense hasn't been as dominant. So now they're not waiting around as long to go to the bullpen because they got a ton of guys they can use and trust. So there's a number of factors in it as well, but that's just something noteworthy. By the way, in those first 16 games, 13-1 starter, two no decisions. Last eight, 1-1, six no decisions. So it would help them if their starters were back to as sharp as they were before. Another thing is base stealing. Teams are 32 of 33 stealing bases against Tennessee in SEC play. So Tennessee's got to do a little bit of better job of holding down base runners. So, you know, Georgia has been up and down too. They're a lot better offensively than they were supposed to. They're not anywhere as good on the mound as they were supposed to. So hard to say what you're going to get from them, but I think those are a couple of areas that, not ringing the alarm or anything, but those are areas where they kind of dipped a little bit, and we'll see if they get back on track.
Didn't mean to laugh while you were talking, but Dylan tweeted at us and said, it really doesn't feel like a Monday at noon without some Ronnie Millsap, hashtag fire the suit.
Hashtag JK. Don't leave that part out. JK means just kidding.
Look how quick Jason was
quick
to jump in there.
Forget one song, everybody wants you fired.
It's a pretty important song.
It is. I mean, you could have played my karaoke version.
It's brought joy to our show. It's brought joy to thousands of listeners.
A lot of joy.
It's just lots of joy. Yeah. Brings joy
to
events.
That's what we try to do.
You enjoy the events. Don't forget that. That's true.
No. We're excited to see how Theo Jackson, by the way, works out here.
Yeah.
Having the Nashville kid. It's going to be fun.
I really like him. I put up a blog up at 99.1thesportsanimal.com and laid out exactly, you know, what each of those guys are dealing with in terms of competition and how they fit in. Love his versatility, his intelligence. I mean, you guys have heard John Robinson talk about him, obviously, and super character kid. Loves to bowl, too. If you guys get a chance to interview him, ask him about bowling. That's one. And another thing is,
what is it about the Overton guys? Mookie Betts?
Yeah.
It's a tradition.
Theo Jackson. What is up with them being outstanding bowlers at Overton?
It's following in the footsteps. Come on. The Bobcats.
Absolutely.
It's crazy.
And then also, his dad, ever since Theo was six, his dad every day would ask him, who's the best player on the field? And he would ask him that to try to get his confidence up. And I asked him when I interviewed him earlier this year for a Vol Nowhere pregame interview, I said, so when did you finally start to believe that you were? And he said, this past spring. So last spring football going into the first high school season is when he first felt like he was. And you know what? He played so much better this year and fitting into this defense. So he is, and I told you guys this, he is one of the most respectful, nicest, easy to root for kids I have covered at Tennessee since I've been here in 2010, and just really happy for him. So that those questions from his dad to keep his confidence up, and then they'd go from, you know, to text later on asking him, making sure to drilling him about that, something cool. So, you know, when you guys get a chance to talk to him, ask him about a couple of those things.
We will. We'll be better next week. Thanks for doing this, as always. Have a great week.
All right, you guys do the same. Enjoy the game.
Vince Ferrara, WNML, the sports animal in Knoxville, at Vince Sports on Twitter every Monday at high noon, along with Smoky Mountain Rain.
That song is somewhere in the Smoky Mountain Rain. There you go.
I got depressed just saying
I'm sorry.
You know? Willie, tell everybody, pump everybody up. Talking about Lone Pronto.
All right, I can pump you guys up on a lot of different subjects, but I will start with
you up.
Yep, just like Hans and Franz.
Hans and Franz.
But let me tell you about Lone Pronto, because right now they want you to know that if you've been thinking about moving, hey, you probably already know this. It's hard right now, but what you may not know is there's a better option out there through Lone Pronto. Let them refinance your current home. Turn all that equity you have into cash and transform your house. Get yourself a new kitchen, a new bathroom, a pool outside, whatever it is, and turn your current home into a dream home. Lone Pronto has got a great method of doing this. They're the leaders in fast and easy home refis, and they can help you unlock that equity you have and do some amazing things. So instead of wasting all that on an overpriced new house, convert that equity into cash for a home makeover. Here's an example. One couple did it. They got out $200,000, and they added hardwood floors, a new outdoor living space, a swimming pool with a spa, new cabinets, appliances, plus a home office. So now they have transformed their home into their dream home, and they never had to move. So call Lone Pronto. Ask about their home improvement refi. That's the home improvement refi from Lone Pronto. 615-499-5780. That's 615-499-5780 or go to loanpronto.com. Equal housing lender, NMLS 166-1781, subject to lender approval.